Mike Sampson, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I've lived here 66 years, basically in Rifle, and I was born in Glenwood because that's where the hospital was. I taught at Rifle High School for 25 years, and then 5 years I was an administrator there. And in 2009, I became the county commissioner for District 3 and been here for 12 years. So I'm going for my fourth term.
What motivates you to run for a fourth term?
We've done some really great things in Garfield County. And, I tell people that basically the first 10 years or more of me being a county commissioner, and I say this tongue-in-cheek a little bit, it was easy. It wasn't easy, but it was easier than it is now because we had money. And we have given millions and millions and millions of dollars to different organizations, municipalities, nonprofits. Those times have changed because it's getting tougher and tougher. As you know, our tax revenues continue to decline. And that's just not the county. That's the school districts, the library districts, the whatever district it is, recreation district, to anybody that has a mill levy that depends on revenue from taxes, property taxes, those funds are going down because the assessed valuation is gone. We had, if I remember correctly, an assessed valuation not too many years ago of close to $4 billion. I think it's now $2.1 billion. And with that being said, tax revenues have gone down.
What's causing them to drop?
What's the most lucrative, what's the most, or has been, the most tax-producing industry in Garfield County, bar none? Oil and gas. And, the price of natural gas has gone down. But I would also say to you that there have been a lot of forces in the state of Colorado that have not been very hospitable to oil and gas. And you put those two things together, and a lot of people have left voluntarily, but involuntarily, because they've lost their jobs, good paying jobs. So it's not just oil and gas per se of the companies, but it's the people that were employed here that made good salaries and wages and had discretionary funds to pay for other things. If you make $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year, you go out to dinner or the movies or so on, as compared to somebody who doesn't make that kind of money. And it has a ripple effect all the way down the economy.
So Garfield County has dedicated funds towards the rulemaking process and defending oil and gas as an important source of tax revenue for the county. I wonder if you would like to speak to that. And
oh, absolutely. We have our critics. We have people that say we shouldn't do that. And my opponent is one that says that very much. We anticipated that we needed to prepare a decade ago for if there ever was a downturn. Because if you're a student of energy and communities, counties, nations that depend upon energy and the production of energy, it's usually a boom and bust cycle for whatever. Whether you're talking about coal or natural gas or oil or whatever it is, it's a, we need it now, we got to go, we got to do it. And of course, the one thing that can really change the scope of all that, and I hate to bring it up, but it's a fact, is war. If there's a war, then everything gets turned on its head again, and energy production is really big time, number one, and so on. That being said, we're glad because we socked away some pretty good reserves. I would say to you that Garfield County, with maybe one exception, Weld County, which is very much like us in that regard, very well prepared for a downturn in their economy. If you look at the 64 counties in Colorado, there will be two that stand out that have reserves And that's why Garfield County has been able to do a lot of things in the future, or will do a lot of things in the future, a lot of other counties can't. Now, we're tightening our belt. We have to, because the revenues are, but we had those reserves that we could count on. But we can't continue to dip into those reserves like we have. And this, I hope it isn't true, but all the tea leaves that I read and everybody I've talked to says 20 is going to be rough. But 21 and 22 are even going to be rougher. With that being said, we're getting geared up for this. But back to your original question about spending that money. I don't know if you're familiar or not with the Western Rural Local Governments. And we have like 23 entities. And I can't remember how many counties and how many cities. And Garfield County, yeah, we've taken the lead in that. And we've spent the money. But here's the point, because they want to harp upon us spending this money for that. All this money that has come because of the oil and gas industry, natural gas industry in Garfield County, has benefited so many people for so many years. You talk about the schools, the nice schools we have. Did you know that there is a nice and relatively new library in all 6 communities in Garfield County? I would challenge you to find another county that has a nice library system like that. And every community in that county that has a nice... How did that happen? How about Grand River Hospital, the hospital district? The schools, the nice schools that we have. The county roads. You see what I'm saying? Why was that all possible? The vast majority was because of what? Natural gas. They paid the major portion of tax dollars to make those things come about. And those counties that are part of that coalition, and those cities and towns, they agree with us, or I don't think they'd be part of that coalition. Now, are they able to foot the bill like we are? No. So we're leading it, because we want to make sure that we, local governments, have a say in what's going on. And I see that Senate Bill 181, draconian measures. And we haven't seen it all. We're not through. We're not totally through with this yet. The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, COGCC, you're familiar with that terminology. They're meeting now. And they're making some pretty rough rules, or proposing. I don't know how it's all going to come out yet. It'll take I don't know how long. But they're proposing some pretty tough rules on oil and gas. And the more you do that, as you already see, oil companies are leaving. Oil and gas companies are leaving the state. They'll say, we'll go to some other state, wherever it is, and drill and so on and so forth.
And what's your response to people's health concerns, particularly in Western Colorado?
I'll say this. One of the major things that we as commissioners, county commissioners, have a responsibility is the health, safety, and welfare of people. But I would say to you, okay, and I think the vast majority of the people, let's use Battlement Mesa as the hot spot, okay? I would say the vast majority of people, and I brought this point up years ago when a lady who came before us, who was a member of the Grand Valley Citizens Alliance, was saying, you're not listening to the people, and we're suffering down there, and we have all these problems. And I look at that and I say, you know, I would challenge you or anybody else to find a county in Colorado, or the United States for that matter, that has spent as much money as we have in air quality control. I don't think you'll find it. Now, I'll back up and say I'm wrong if you can, but I challenge you to find that. I don't think you'll find that. We have spent a lot of money, and I think the air quality in Battlement Mesa is good, okay? And I don't think we've destroyed the air. I don't think we've destroyed the land or the water. We haven't. And my point, as I was saying, is I think that the vast majority of people that live in Battlement Mesa feel that way. Why am I so sure about that? This is my fourth term if I'm reelected. And John and Tom and Mike, on a consistent basis, have won 70 to 75% of the votes in the Battlement Mesa area. Now, if we were doing such a terrible job and we were allowing these companies to just trash the environment, I think we would hear a big groundswell from those people and we would have been voted out of office years ago. Now, that being said, has everything always been perfect? Heavens no. But I would say to that, name me a company, name me an industry that hasn't had its problems, whatever the problems may be. Name me one. Guess what? You're not going to find one. Nobody's perfect. But we have, in the state of Colorado, if I've been told correctly, the most stringent rules on natural gas production than any state in the United States of America.
What, then, do you think is currently working well in Garfield County, if you could speak to success?
Well, financially, I think we're in good shape, and we have been, because I think the three of us work well together as a team, and we have made sure that we have taken care of the needs of Garfield County. By that I mean we have spent money wisely to take care of the services that need to be done in Garfield County. But at the same token, we have always laid aside money to make sure, rainy day fund, if you want to call it that, that when tough times come, we're not going to be in a predicament like many cities and counties are right now. I think that's important, that you need to make sure that not only are you taking care of people's needs right now, but you're making sure that you've got a reserve for the future. Let me give you one example of this, okay? John Martin, and I'll credit him with it, because he got the idea from the state of Utah on how they did it, but they do it on a state level instead of a county level. And what I'm talking about is the Federal Mineral Lease District. So John and I got together, put our heads together, and start talking about this and so on, and we presented it to the state legislature. And I think it was 2010 when we first had our state legislators introduce it into the state legislature. I think it was one of the very few bills that passed unanimously in the House and the Senate. And basically, that gave counties the authority to create federal mineral lease districts. And basically what that does, Raleigh, is the funds that you get from the federal mineral lease dollars of the feds, okay, that come to the state and they're divvied down into the counties, all right? And that's money that comes to you for that the federal government leases the right to mine the minerals, if you will, okay, on federal land. And I think the equation is the feds keep 52, they give 48 to the state. Now the state takes some of that and so on, but the counties give some. We set that up as a separate organization. And we as county commissioners appoint three directors. I'm on that. I'm the one county commissioner and have been since the creation of the Federal Mineral Lease District. Do you have any idea how much money the Federal Mineral Lease District has given to cities, hospitals, schools, libraries, different special districts since it's been created about 8 years worth? We've given almost $30 million. We've given a lot of money to a lot of people to do a lot of neat things. Garfield County didn't have to do that. And we did prior to the formation of that, okay? We could have said, what? We'll continue to just keep all that. But we didn't. And of course, those entities apply for us and applications and so on, and the three directors read through that stuff meticulously and make the decisions and so on and so forth. And we've given money to every municipality, Carbondale to Parachute, and unincorporated Battlement Mesa Metro District or Recreation District, or and hospitals and libraries and schools, and $30 million worth of, well, they match. We 70-30. They put in 30, we put in 70. But there's just all kinds of projects in Garfield County that have been done because of the federal mineral lease funds that have been granted to those.
With your fourth term, what would your priorities be if reelected?
Well, there's a couple things that I'd like to see done, but in general terms, I think we are on a good course. And I think a majority of the voters feel that way, that we have done a good job, Garfield County is in good shape, and we're on the right track. So I guess my priority there is stay on this track. It's done well for us for the past 10 years, and let's continue to go forward. That being said, we have to face some times in the next few years here that we've never had to face before. It's going to get tough. And it's not going to be as tough for us as it is going to be for other counties or for the state or for municipalities. Talking to Bob Rankin and Perry Will, who are our state legislators here, represent Garfield County. In the early part of this legislative session, they were thinking they had a $3.5 billion excess. And the tables turned, and all of a sudden, they're down to what? Zippo, or less. And there, those guys had to make some tough decisions this year. Well, you wait and see what's going to happen next year on the state legislative table. We're not in that position like they are, to a degree. But what I would say to you is we're going to stay on the course with the following changes. We have to pull back the reins a little bit. And a lot of the capital improvements and projects that we would have liked to do and continue and so on, it's not going to happen because they're going to have to be put on the wayside, and we've got to work with other things. And it's important for us to remember that people are hurting. People have lost their jobs or can't go to work. People ask me, they say, Mike, how's it going? And I always try and make light of things when it gets a little serious. And I said, well, let me see. We had the downturn in the oil and gas industry and all the ripple effects with that. I mean, that affects so many other industries and businesses in the county. So you got that. Then we get hit with COVID. Nobody saw that coming. I mean, I didn't. I didn't have a clue on that one. I don't think anybody did. And that's been devastating. That's been really devastating to a lot of people. Then we got a fire to the west of us. Then we got a fire to the east of us. And it's an election year. Yeah, I'm okay. You know, things that you've never really thought about, and they're just slamming you. That all being said, we're doing okay. Despite all the adversity, we're doing okay, and we're going to come out on top. But it's going to take patience, it's going to take perseverance, and it's going to take personal responsibility as well as responsibility of the commissioners to make sure things do land on their feet. And we will. We will. Some of the things I'd like to see, really, is I'm really in favor if you're familiar with Jordan Cove, okay? I've been on the ground floor of that for a long time. And I would really like to see that happen, because to me, Raleigh, to me, that's a win-win in many ways. That $10 billion facility being built in Coos Bay, Oregon, that in itself would help that county and that state immensely. I've been to Coos Bay. I've talked to their county commissioners. I've talked to their city councils and so on. And I don't know if you know the history of that, but that's a town that was devastated economically because of a little bird. Do you have any idea what that was? Spotted owl. And what happened? They devastated what? The timber industry. It just crunched Coos County, Oregon. And they haven't recovered yet. And they'll tell you that. And I don't know, it was, I'm going to say, a year, 2 years ago or something, they had a referendum there or something, and the people, 3-1, 75%, 75% were in favor of the Jordan Cove project. Now, a lot of that is because high unemployment, the whole nine yards, and everything that comes with it. So it would be a win for them. I don't have to explain to you why it would be a win for us in Garfield County. But think of it larger, the state. Think of it even larger than that, the United States. I have had the pleasure of meet and become friends with, I'm not going to say good friends, but friends with, I call him Mr. Soto. He's the number two guy in the Japanese Economic Ministry, okay? I've met with him several times and talked. Delightful guy. And basically, here's this in a nutshell. Japan, as well as other countries, whether it's China or India or Burma or Thailand or whoever else over there, but we'll just say Japan because they want to be the main player here, and I see why they do. They want natural gas. They want our natural gas. Why would they want our natural gas and not natural gas from Russia? I don't think it takes a genius to figure that one out. Putin controls that. You do something he doesn't like, he cuts off the valve, right? And what about price? They know that they can rely on us for a reliable supply and a reliable cost. Okay? Now, as soon as we start getting those super tankers moving that there, they're going to open up all kinds of other markets there. Think about that. How many jobs, big paying, good paying jobs, would that open up for Western Colorado, for the state of Colorado, for the United States? Do you have any idea the amount of gas that's locked up underneath the book cliffs? 66 trillion cubic feet. That's a lot of gas. They want it. They'll pay for it. And I'm just saying, wow, unbelievable. Win-win for the United States of America. Win-win for them. Help them. To me, okay, and I hope no one listening goes, wow, he just wants to tear everything up and get all the... No. We haven't let him tear up Garfield County. We haven't let him destroy the land or the water or the soil or the air. And we're not going to let him do that now. But there are ways to get that out and get it on the Ruby Pipeline and the Pacific Connector that they need to build down into Coos Bay and ship it over to those areas. It's all possible. This is not a pipe dream. This is not, oh, that's unbelievable. I can't believe you even think about that, because that's not possible. It's very possible. And it would be, what a boon economically for the United States of America.
Is that attainable within the next few years?
It will take 5 years to build that facility. It's going to cost $10 billion to build that facility. But it will be awesome. It will be awesome. And like I say, it's not a pipe dream. This is possible. These things are possible. They really are. And I just think at that and I say, that would take care of so many problems in the United States of America economically, if we could get people working and doing things like that. And that's just one. But guess who's right in the middle of all this? Garfield County. We would benefit greatly. But the whole world would benefit. The whole world would benefit from that.
And with the amount of water that it takes for the technology that currently exists, is that a concern?
You know, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, yeah, I think, but their technology increases and improves, and they use that water over and over again, and now they're learning how to clean it even better and clean it up and reuse it and do these things and so on and so forth. You bet. That's not a major concern. If you want to talk about water, okay, I think the importance of worrying about something like that is compared to this, and this being the eastern slope continuing to take western slope water. Bingo. Now that's something that you better talk about.
Yeah,
that's much, much more important in my book. And we on the western slope, those of us that know, and I don't profess to be an expert, but I do know quite a bit about water, and I'm learning more and more about it, is that Front Range continues to grow. Their needs for water are growing exponentially, and they're going to want to take more and more of our water. And that's not good. It's not good for us in Western Colorado. And you're going to see, it's already began, fights between the lower basin states and the upper basin states. The Colorado Compact, 1922, I think it was, 1920 or 1922. Water is the lifeblood of the West. The Colorado River is the only major river in southwestern United States. You think about that. And you look at the Colorado River, you go from my house and you look down and you see the Colorado River. You bring somebody out here from the Midwest and you say, that's the Colorado River. And the first thing out of their mouth will be something like, that's not a river, that's a creek. If you've ever stood on the banks of the Mississippi or the Missouri or the Ohio, that's a river. That's a river. So what I'm trying to say, different topography, different climate, different everything, and I get that. We got the arid to semi-arid west, and we got one major river.
What do you see in your experience that Western counties can do to keep West Slope water on this side of the divide?
We have to join together, and we have to work together, and we have to go there, and we have to explain and continually to explain things, because people change so much. You know, one of the pitfalls of term limits is you have this constant turnover of state legislators. And they don't get it. All they know is that their people are saying, we need more water, we need more water. And you're saying, yes, but you've got to understand, we here on the Western Slope, that's our lifeblood. If you keep taking that away from us, it's going to ruin everything over here. You won't have recreation for you guys to come over and do all the things you have on the river. And one of the biggest things that kills fish, are you a fisherman?
A little bit.
Do you know what's one of the biggest things that kills fish?
Low stream,
because what happens to the temperature goes up. I don't know what it is, but I know there's a magic number that if that temperature and that stream flow reaches a certain degree, then your fish are going to start dying. And if it keeps going up, then you're going to lose all your fish. They'll die because they can't survive. I remember when I was a kid and watched the Colorado River. And now I watch it. It's not like it used to be, like it was 60 years ago.
Thank you for all the information, for your public service.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you.